I too want to extend a welcome to each one this part of the service, and it's been a blessing to be here, to welcome all of you to join with us in worship. There was a thought going through my mind the last couple of weeks that I had to think about, and I thought about it all during church last Sunday, and that phrase was, "Let me see my whole salvation perfectly secured by thee." And don't you know, the first song we sang this morning, "Love Divine, All Loves Excelling," it came from there. And so I didn't ask Matt to lead that song, but I was going to sing it. But I just loved that phrase, and it just was a warmth there to hear that. This morning, I'd like to turn to the book of Matthew, and I was challenged by a sermon that we had here just recently about, "Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus." And if we want to draw close to God, we have to see the things that are important to him, and we see that through Jesus. The things that Jesus valued are things that we should value. And so in Philippians 2, it says, "Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You know, that's quite a statement that Paul was saying about Jesus, his Lord. And I trust that we can say that about Jesus, our Lord. He makes the statement that every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The unfortunate thing is that some of them are going to recognize it too late. So, salvation, that's the important thing. And I know we all understand that part of it. Matthew 20, we have an interesting story in the first part of the chapter. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire vineyards and laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and he saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the lord of the vineyard said to his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. They likewise received every man a penny. And when they received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen." You know, in the surface reading of this, it seems like equal pay is not equal, right? So if you boys are hired, if you come over and help me And Austin is there early in the morning, and he's there, and Preston comes over at 9 o'clock, and he's there, and Noah comes at 12 o'clock, and he's there for the rest of the day, and Ryan comes at 3 o'clock, and Patrick, and he has his cousin Jordan, Jackson with him, they come at 5 o'clock, and at the end of the day, I give them all a $20 bill. Is that equal? You think that would be fair? We'd say, wait a minute, those guys just came late, they were just there 1 hour, and we were over here. That's the way we all look at that. And that's what Jesus was saying. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's not fair. Now, how could that be a tribute of God, that not be fair? Well, I think we can see, in some ways, how it is not fair. We are given so much in being a part of the kingdom that it is not fair. We can never pay for what he has promised us. We can never earn it. The things that he has promised us is something that we can't earn. In our Sunday school lesson, we had the scripture last Sunday. It said, come out from among them and be ye separate, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. There is no way that we can earn sonship. It has to be given. Now, I think the lesson here is Jesus was saying that the first shall be last and the last first. I think he was specifically saying that the Jews were promised the kingdom. They said that they were God's people, that they are the first. But he also included the Gentiles in saying that the last shall be first in some cases. In this case, it was that way. But I have to think about that. And when I read about stories about people that they pay a lot for the privilege of serving Christ. But before I get there, I would like to look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 talks, and we read this last Sunday also, but Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter, and it tells the story of a lot of different men in the Old Testament that served God, served him faithfully, and maybe some of them died cruel deaths. Many of them did, actually. They died, they did not receive the promises, but they were still faithful to the end. So in one sense, they served in the heat of the day. Their payment was incomplete, it says there at the end of the chapter. Verse 32, it had talked about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Noah and Moses and a lot of them. But it says, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and of Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I think it's just tremendously interesting that in the time that whoever wrote the book of Hebrews had made this comparison that the present generation, the present testament, the present covenant is being made complete in Christ. And all these faithful men who were of old, they died. They didn't have the promises, but God is saving them for all of us together to be his children, to be his salvation, to be his church, to be his people, to be his sons and daughters. I just think that's a tremendous privilege. And in that case, it's a privilege to be a worker in the vineyard. And we are not, you know, when we compare our situation today, maybe we think it's tough to be a Christian, to speak for the Lord, to live for the Lord, to deny ourselves. But seriously, it's as easy for us as it was those men for an 11th hour, just hardly there. I've just been rereading this book again, The Insanity of God, and to realize how much it cost for some of these people in other parts of the country, other parts of the world, especially those in communist and in Muslim countries. People that give everything to follow Christ faithfully. People that have had tremendous personal losses in taking the gospel there, but are willing to stand for that. So, you know, I think it's very generous to see that the story that Jesus gave, that the kingdom of heaven is like these people, that there's equal pay for those that bear the burden in the heat of the day, as well as those that are just there for a short time. And I think we qualify for those that are being in a short time. But anyhow, when we see the values that Jesus has, he doesn't think in the same sense that we do. If we would turn to the Gospel of Luke, and in Luke 19 we have the story of Zacchaeus, which is a familiar story to all of us. We know the story about the very little man and how he went up into a tree and how he looked for Jesus and so on. We know that story well because we even have a song that goes with that. But the story of Zacchaeus is an interesting example of Jesus reaching out to someone that was looked down on and despised. Then in Luke 7, we have the story of another man, the centurion, that had a servant that was sick, and he sent the elders of Jews to Jesus, and maybe I'll just read that. Chapter 7, verse 1, it says, and a certain centurion servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when he came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was not now far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter into my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these words, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found a servant whole that had been sick. Compare this to the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a man that what we know about him is that he was short. We know that he was rich. We know that he was it doesn't say it here, but he was obviously a publican, a person that was hired by the Roman government to collect taxes from the Jews and submit it to the government. A person that was hated by his own people because he was looked down as a traitor, and a person that had evidently had very little qualms about overcharging or cheating. That was kind of a part of the game too, that they could get as much as the traffic would let. It's like what we would say, maybe supply and demand. Just if he could demand more, he could get it. Really wasn't any ceiling on that. So there he was. Here was a man that was a Jew. He was not liked by his people. He was not one that would give Jesus a lot of brownie points if he got his friendship. But Jesus reached out to him in a very special way, and in a very tremendous way, actually. He said, I will go to your house. Come down from that tree. I'm going to your house. And on the other hand, we have another man that sent Jesus to him to ask him to come to his house to heal his servant, a man that was respected by his peers, a man that was loved by the people around him, a man that the testimony of others said, yes, he is worthy. He's a worthy man. He's built us a synagogue. Jesus, he's a friend to both this kind of person and the person that had no friends. And we see the heart of Christ, that he's reaching out to everybody. He is reaching out to both these people. There were one was despised and one was loved. One was a cheater and one was honorable. One was, but they both desired the presence of Christ there. And then especially for the one, Jesus says, you know, he recognized Christ for who he was, and he said, I am not worthy that you come under my roof, but just say the word. And that was just tremendous that Jesus said, he honored his faith by doing what he wanted, but he also made that testimony that I have found not so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Well, there's more than that. Then we have the story of the Laodiceans in Revelation 3. And that we were familiar with that one as well, where Jesus pronounces them as being neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm. And he wishes that they were cold or hot, and he'll spew them out of his mouth. But I like what he says here in verse 18. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. He that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And so to a group of people that had no need of Christ, they were completely self-sufficient. They thought they were rich. They thought they had no need. They were not hungry. They were clothed. They had everything they thought they needed. Even to this group of people, Jesus is saying, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with him to him and sup with him and he with me. You know, I marvel at the values and the heart of Christ. We sang that song. Another one of my favorites we sang here is that just before, after Sunday school, is that 280. And this phrase, again, stood out to me. Verse 4, still let thy love point out my way. How wondrous things thy love hath wrought. Still lead me lest I go astray. Direct my work, inspire my thoughts. And if I fall, soon may I hear thy voice and know that love is near. And we depend on that. In suffering be thy love my peace. In weakness be thy love my power. And when the storms of life shall cease, Jesus, in that important hour, in death as life, be thou my guide and save me who for me has died. Such a beautiful, beautiful few words of what Christ has done for his people there. And so it's not a penny. It's worth the whole world. I've asked John and Rose to share some songs with us this morning, and so I think we'll call them up at this time. I knew that I had asked them to sing, and they said they would, and then after a while somebody called them and said, would you have devotions? And so I got kind of a heavy load this morning. I enjoyed that, and I'm sure you all did too, so I don't apologize. So would you all come up and sing that?
I think we did this last year too, and I understand that if you do things three times, it becomes a tradition, so we're not going to do it next year. Song we like, we've only sung it a little bit, Give Thanks for Life, from this little Into His Presence book, which we like.
Give thanks for life, the measure of our days. Mortal we pass through beauty that decays, yet seeing to God our hope, our love, our praise.
Thanks for
thanks for hope that like the wheat, the grain that lies in darkness does its life retain.
Hey, well, thank you so much for sharing that. You know, traditions are actually very good. There's something that is comfortable about a good tradition, and so you might have to change your thinking on that. But one of the things that I have, that blesses me is that in the Christian life, what Christ wants is a grateful heart. He wants something that is turned toward him in gratefulness for what he did. And so both the songs that were sung reflected that. Give thanks. And give thanks, be grateful, and then that beautiful song of heavenly love was coming through there. So those are some of the things that are straightly reflective of the love of Christ in us. Now I'd like to just read one more short passage here in the next part of chapter 20 of Matthew. We have the story of Zebedee's mother coming, the mother of Zebedee's children coming to Jesus and wanting a special place for her sons. And Jesus told them that it's not his to give, but that little request made the rest of the disciples antagonistic toward the two that wanted a special position. But Jesus told them something else. He said, "You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever shall be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." And so Jesus is telling us that being a servant, being someone that is an encourager, someone that helps others, or someone that gives his life for others, is actually that one that is great in his sight. And so, I appreciated the willingness of John's family to share quickly. I mean, graciously. And so, God bless you. And for us, I trust that we can be an encouragement, live thankful lives, and thereby glorify our Father which is in heaven. Let's bow our heads for prayer.